The opinions represented during this show may not necessarily represent those of KRMG or Cox Media Group.
Your host is Dan Witham, a financial advisor with offices at 8516 East 101st Street, Suite C in Tulsa. His office phone number is 918-398-8387. Dan is a branch manager with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA SIPC. Now here's Money Talk on News 1023 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday morning, everyone. My name is Russell Mills, and you found Money Talk here on News 1023 and AM 740 KRMG. In the studio with me today, as always, Mr. Dan Witham and Mr. Steve Money. If you've got questions, you can text us at 95920. And my first question for Dan every week is, what book are we giving away this week, sir?
That's right. We have a great book this week, and it's right up Steve's alley because Steve's going to be the star of our show today, whether he knows it or not, right?
That's a sad proposition here, actually.
Wow, the excitement is palpable.
Well, we're going to talk about Medicaid planning, and the book this week is called The Medicaid Planning Handbook, A Guide to Protecting Your Family's Assets from Catastrophic Nursing Home Costs. And Steve knows some ways to help you get there and to get this done. And we're going to talk about that on the show today. But anyhow, Medicaid, you can use Medicaid to replace long-term care, Steve, is what I'm referring to here.
Right.
And this is a cost that is astronomical for many people, especially for somebody who might have dementia or something like that, which could be in there for 10 years, you know, potentially in a facility. And the book is the Medicaid Planning Handbook. It's a guide to protecting your family's assets. It's a guide for seniors, disabled individuals, and their families. And I'd say mainly this is probably for the children of those people that can help them with the planning, you know, unless you're young enough to do the planning for yourself, of course, which would be a good thing also. And it will really, it's really a great way to avoid paying for long-term care out of pocket or with the long-term care policy. And that's what the book is all about. We will send you a free copy of this excellent book, along with our white paper on our momentum strategy that we talked about last week. That's already up, Steve, 8% this year. Momentum strategy is
not even a month into it.
Right, not even a month into it. It's up 8% already for the year. It's doing very, very well, and I'm very pleased with it. We'll send you the information on that and the book, the Medicaid Planning Handbook. It's all absolutely free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. It is absolutely free. There's, and just leave your name and address. I'm sorry. Leave us your name and address when you get our voicemail. And we'll send you the book, the Medicaid Planning Handbook, and the information on the Momentum Strategy. Absolutely free. And the Momentum Strategy is very simple, and we'll talk about it later in the show if we have time. Hopefully we'll have time to get to that. But I want to mention something else to people out there, something else that we offer that is free to people. There are a couple people here in town that work at a company called American Airlines, you know.
I've heard of that outfit. Nice little startup.
A few thousand people that work for American here in town. And there's also quite a few people that work for ONG. And I can't remember what they're called now. Is it One Gas or One Oak?
Well, One Oak, I think, operates ONG.
Okay.
I think.
Anyhow, and UPS, United Parcel Service, easy for me to say, yeah. There's a couple people work for those companies. And I have information for them that may be of value to them. Basically, what it is a ranking of all the mutual funds in their 401ks, and it tells them which ones to buy and which ones to avoid. And because we have a list of their 401ks, and I get this ranking every week based on the recent performance of those funds. So if you work for one of those companies, American Airlines, ONG, or UPS, and you want the information, just give me a call and leave me your name and address and say what company you work for, so I know which one to send you, of course, and we will send it out to you in the mail. We'll just drop this in the mail to you. It's absolutely free, and it tells you which funds are performing the best. Right now, American, there's 8 funds that are recommended for buy and 10 that are recommended not to buy. And so it's, and these are pretty straightforward rankings. They tend to work pretty well. I've seen, that's been my experience with them. Similar to our momentum strategy, kind of like that for your 401k is what this would be essentially. So it tells you which funds to put your money into, and it doesn't mince words. It tells you the actual name of the fund. It doesn't just say by large cap value. It says buy, or yeah, it says buy Dodge and Cox stock fund, which is one of the large cap value funds in their plan. And so we'll send that information out to you absolutely free if you want. And that's for American, ONG, and UPS, for all the employees of those companies. And if there's another large employer here in town and you want me to get the information for your plan, I can do it. Just send me the information. Just call me and email me the, well, I need a list of the funds and I can get it done for you. So it's very easy to do. And I'll be happy to do that for anybody, any of the larger employers here in town that might want that done. So anyhow, one of the things that I wanted to talk about on today's show, Russell, you mentioned we're doing podcasts now. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Absolutely. If you join us late or you want to go back and listen to some of the other shows, we are now officially podcasting Money Talk for you on the KRMG.com website.
on the top navigation, there's a little link that says podcast. Click that and you'll see all the shows right there. And you can go listen to it to your heart's content. Or if you heard something that somebody else needs to hear, you want them to hear it, send them to the KRMG.com and to the podcast page.
Very good. Thank you. And I know there's a lot of people that get to hear us when they're going to church and so they hear part of the show, but don't get to hear all
of
the show.
Don't get to hear the whole thing.
So if you want to go back and listen to it, you have the chance now with the podcast, which I think is a great opportunity for them to do that. Steve, some numbers came out last week.
And those are?
Gross domestic product for the U.S. grew at 2.6% in the fourth quarter. That's the current estimate, we shall say, which will be revised in a month or so. The government always revises it, and it's usually different when they come back with a new number. They may revise it up, they may revise it down, you know, next month. There's no telling. But we had grown at 3.2% in the third quarter, so the numbers have been pretty good and pretty strong for the last year or so. And some of these numbers are actually stronger, some are weaker within that number. There's a lot of different sectors that go into that number, like healthcare and housing and things like that, of course, that make up the gross domestic product growth rate. And one of the stronger ones was actually final sales to domestic purchasers, which is a number that strips out inventories and trade, because inventories always skew these numbers up or down and mess the numbers up. But that one grew at 4.3% last quarter, which is very robust.
So is that stuff like washers and dryers, or what kind of stuff is that?
Well, that one number is, this is basically the retail sales number is what you're looking at here.
So across the board.
Yeah, at the end of the day, this isn't, because it doesn't include inventories that a retailer buys that could cause the number, they could go into their inventory, but they don't sell, that sits in the warehouse, let's say, for example. This takes out numbers like that. This is final purchases by the consumer is what you're looking at here. And that's, at the end of the day, that's a pretty important number, because that really tells you who's buying what.
This is what actually exchanged hands,
right,
you know,
to the end user.
Exchange for money.
Right. And that one grew by 4.3%, which is a very robust number, a good number. Another number that was pretty important that I was shocked to see, I will tell you, because the size of the number, business equipment investment, which is businesses buying plant and equipment, you know, the heavy industry type stuff, the expensive stuff.
That is the investing in the future stuff.
Yes. This is businesses tooling up and gearing up for bigger production numbers. This number grew by 11.4% in the fourth quarter and 10.8% in the prior quarter.
That's astounding.
That's a big number. That's a very big number, yes. And I believe the housing number was also outstanding. Yes. Housing up 11.6% new housing starts.
I mean, that's phenomenal, really.
That is for housing. That's great for the housing industry. That's what they need. And those people have been, you know, they got killed in 08 and 09. They really got decimated when the housing just went in the tank. I mean, new housing went in the tank is what it did completely. And then credit froze up and people couldn't, you know, borrow money to build houses even if they wanted to. But yeah, they took a big hit back then. But anyhow, these are some surprising numbers. And these are numbers like the business, you know, spending on capital equipment. Those are numbers that we'll see affect employment in other areas down the road. It'll take a while for that to work its way into the economy. But we know that eventually that's the mindset that businesses have right now, right, is that they're going to invest.
That's right.
They're spending money to
people bringing money back into the country, which is a big deal.
Right, kind of like the Apple deal.
Yep.
You know, we talked about a while back on the show about Apple investing a large chunk of money in the U.S. Of course, they did it because they're getting a huge tax break. They realize there's an opportunity here to bring that money back, to repatriate that money back to the U.S., and that opportunity won't be there forever. I think then we all know that that won't. Tax law won't stay where it is forever. I mean, we all know that's going to change at some point. It may even change before Trump leaves office. Who knows, you know? But we know it'll change at some point. And one of the things I want to talk about, Steve, on the show today was, I know we probably don't have time right now, but I want to talk about this 20% tax through that's part of the new tax bill. 20% pass-through tax reduction, basically, is what it is for small business owners. This applies to S-corps, sole proprietorships, LLCs. And I think, and maybe some other structures. It does not apply to W-2 income. Like if you have an S-corp like I do, and you pay yourself a W-2 salary and an owner income,
right,
it only applies to the owner income side, but not to the W-2 salary. But I'm still okay with that. I still think it's a great deal for people like me, because that's where the bulk of your income is going to come from, is the owner side of the equation of the balance sheet.
Well, that's going to impact your K-1, won't it?
Yes. Well, it will impact you, basically.
Or not, maybe not impact it, but that's where it'll show up.
Okay, what's a K-1? I'm going to just jump in and go, what is
that? Well, he's talking about partnership income is what a K-1 is referring to.
Okay.
And I don't have a K-1 in my case, I don't think. I'm not even sure if I do. I might. Oh, I do. Okay, he's telling me I do. Okay.
No,
I don't do my own taxes, as you can tell.
Yeah. LLCs and sub-S's are taxed as sub-S's, basically.
Okay.
And so you do a K-1, it's kind of, your company really doesn't pay taxes. I mean, really, no corporation really pays taxes. It's the consumers or the owners pay the taxes.
And so your K-1 tells the IRS this is how much your company did, and then so much of it, like in Dan's case, will float down to him since he pays himself a salary.
Right.
That floats down. Then the rest of your expenses and income go wherever they go. So that's why I would think that that 20% reduction would somehow show up on your K-1.
Then that's probably, then you're probably right in that case. Anyhow, and you can see why I don't do my own taxes. It's probably for a good reason.
Yeah, well, I'm the last person to listen to for tax advice.
Yeah. But anyhow, giving small business owners, you know, basically you're giving small business owners a 20% tax break. And to offset the corporate rate, the C corporation rate, which they gave from 35 down to 21%, I believe, is how much they reduced that.
That's correct, yes.
And so they're giving the small business owners almost an equivalent tax break. And these are the people that run 98% of the businesses in the country. So it's a very important tax break. And I think it's a great idea, and it'll encourage them to hire more people.
Very good. All right. Let's remind everybody, we're giving away books today. When I say we, I mean Dan. The book is called The Medicaid Planning Handbook, something that you might want to check out, especially if you got some older folks in the family that are starting to think about that, or heck, planning for yourself. Get a jump on it. The Medicaid Planning Handbook, absolutely free. Just call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address so they know where to send that book. 918-398-8387. You got it on Money Talk here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Little Everly Brothers for your Sunday. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in about 8 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast. Yeah, we started chilly, but we're going to see a nice warm-up today. Stay tuned. Coming up next hour, Fox News Sunday. If you got a question for Dan or Steve, you can text us at 95920. Meanwhile, Dan is giving away a book all about planning for Medicaid.
That's right. It's the Medicaid Planning Handbook, a guide to protecting your family's assets from catastrophic nursing home costs. Those can run as much as, you know, $5,000 a month. So it is pretty important that you take care of this ahead of time if you can. And there's a great way to do it. We're going to talk about today on the show. We'll send you that book for free, plus our Momentum Strategy white paper. That's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail. We'll send the book out to you for free, absolutely free, no cost, no obligation. I would encourage people to get this, especially if you're in your 50s or your 60s. I get a lot of questions about long-term care, Steve, from people over the years, and you know they want to know about it.
Well, and that's right, and I think that it's not really never too early, because I think a lot of people say, well, when I'm 65, I'll think about it. Well, your problem is when you apply, when you actually need it and you apply, they're going to look back 5 years to see what you did with some assets.
Well, in long-term care, it's very hard to qualify for, too, for the policies,
right.
I can tell you, because we sell those policies, underwrite those policies.
That's right.
It's almost impossible to qualify at 65 years of age for a long-term care policy, because you have to be in perfect health. If you have any health problems, forget it. I mean, they'll boot you. They just will.
So. Perfect health and have a little bit of money, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. 65 is going to be very expensive.
Are
yes.
Not cheap.
So I want to ask you a couple questions. You know, as I understand it, there's three ways to qualify for to pay for long-term care. One is to pay for it out of pocket,
right.
Which I just met a couple the other day that can afford to do that. I told them to do that they don't need a long-term care policy. Two is to buy a long-term care policy through
exactly.
a carrier like Genworth, or there's many other carriers out there. And then three is the Medicaid route, which we're going to talk about on the show today. And, you know, people always have these. There's so many misconceptions about Medicaid and qualifying for Medicaid that it's ridiculous. I can tell you, because I run into them every day. But why don't we start by having you just explain what Medicaid is? Let's start with the very basics here.
Well, you know, when you see that FICA come out of your paycheck, you're paying for it. And I think one of the biggest things I try to get across to people, especially the World War II generation, I'm not going to take something for nothing. And I'm like, dude, you've been paying for this your whole life, you know? And so when people, I always say, you have house insurance. If you own a house, you have house insurance, right? Well, yeah. Well, if your house burned down, would you say, oh, I'm not going to take that insurance money because I don't want something for nothing? No, you've been paying for that insurance policy.
Right.
Something happens, use it. And this is pretty analogous to that. You've been paying for this. That's why your check is smaller than what you really make, because you've been paying for this ever since 1964.
Right.
So take advantage of it, because you're hitting every nail on the head. There's only three ways to pay for this. Most of us can't afford $5,000 a month for however many years, and you hit on it a while ago. You know, an average length of stay is probably, you know, 2 to 4 years,
right,
unless you have Alzheimer's or pretty severe dementia. Then you're talking about 10 to 12 years. Now, I don't know many people that can pay $5,000 a month for 10 or 12 years, or even a year for that matter.
Right.
So if you don't have those resources and you don't have that long-term care policy, well, how is you going to pay for it?
Well, and I want to point out something here that could happen is, you just mentioned, you know, let's say 10 years at $5,000 a month. 10 years at $5,000 a month is $600,000.
Right.
Even if you have $600,000,
why?
That would wipe you out.
Right.
If that's what your liquid net worth is,
yeah,
it would just wipe out your net worth. You'd leave nothing to your heirs or to your spouse, you know, if you have one, if they're still living at that time. It's going to wipe out your bank account, basically your savings,
right,
and your investments. And that's what you want to avoid. And that's one of the things I want to point out is, even if you have it, you still may not want to go down that road, because it would be spending all of your assets on long-term care. Now, how is Medicaid funded?
Well, again, through your FICA. I mean, the state pays a certain amount, and then,
right,
then the feds, you know, pay a certain amount.
Right.
But ultimately, it all comes out of your own pocket, and it's administered by the Oklahoma Health Care Authority here in Oklahoma.
Right. And Medicaid is run on a state basis, not a federal basis like Medicare is.
Well, that's kind of true. It's run by a state agency. However, it's run under federal rules.
Okay.
And that's pretty important. And I'm going to say, one of the rare occasions I'm going to say this, thank God for the federal rules in this, because the Oklahoma Health Care Authority just does bizarre stuff. You know, we have 77 counties. You can apply in every county and probably get a different result to your application. There's very little consistency. A lot of times, and I'm not meaning this as a slam, the rules are very complex, like we've talked about with Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they just don't know the stuff. And how do I know that? Because when we appeal cases and win, it's because we knew the rules better than they did. But one thing I will say, when that happens, they're great about it. I mean, they're like, man, we didn't know that. So, I mean, they're good to deal with. They're good people, great people. Sometimes we just have a different interpretation of how things ought to go.
Well, what does Medicaid, at the end of the day, what do they allow you to keep in order to qualify for Medicaid? How much in assets or cars or houses or things like that? What do they allow you to have in general?
That's I think, the biggest misconception of this entire thing, because everybody thinks kind of like that old Chris Farley guy, you know, you got to be living in a box down by the river.
Right.
And that's what everybody thinks, that you have to be destitute. So the question that I always like to ask people is, let's say you're doing some nursing home planning, and let's say, I'm going to ask you, how many of you think that you can have $574,000 in equity in your house and still qualify? Well, nobody's going to raise their hand, because we all know you got to be living in a box down by the river. The problem is, you can have over $500,000 in equity in your home, which is an asset for accounting purposes, but it's not an asset for Medicaid planning purposes. Now, there's some wrinkles to that, and there's some rules on that, but it's kind of like the IRS code. The first rule is all income is taxable. Then you have 27,000 pages of the exceptions. And that's kind of how Medicaid is. Your house is a non-exempt asset, which means it doesn't count as an asset. So when you're worried about that $2,000 thing, well, you can have $500,000 in your house. Doesn't count as an asset.
Okay.
And that's why I think when a lot of attorneys right here are going, hey, you know, do a trust, it'll protect your assets. First thing you ought to ask is, well, protect them from what?
Yes.
Because it's not going to protect you from long-term care planning.
And that's one of the things that I talk about. I had a couple the other day that was in my office talking about a trust that they had, and they thought it was an irrevocable trust.
Yep.
And it turns out it was a revocable trust, and I was trying to explain the difference to them, and I was trying to say, you know, there's a big difference between the two from a Medicaid standpoint,
right,
and from an asset liability standpoint. There's a world of difference between the two. Many people are somewhat confused on the types of trusts that they have. They think a living trust is an irrevocable trust, whereas it's usually not. It's a revocable trust, of course. And so I try to counsel them a little bit on that and try to give them advice as to which is which. And I know that we've got to go to a break, but we'll talk more about this after the break, and we'll discuss this a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know what the difference is, and, you know, what makes what's revocable versus irrevocable. I think that's something folks would like to hear. Meanwhile, if you'd like a free copy of today's book, The Medicaid Planning Handbook, call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address so they know where to send the book, because it's Sunday and you're going to get the answering machine. Again, the number 918 398
1-800-398-8387. The book is the Medicaid Planning Handbook, and it is yours absolutely free. More Money Talk after the news here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know change
gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Coming up in less than 30 minutes now. Stay tuned for Fox News Sunday. A lot going on in D.C. You're going to want to keep track of all that. Got any questions for us today? You can give us a text to 95920. We did have one text question. I'll let Dan deal with that in a second because I think he knows who
it's
that is.
It's an important question.
Yes. Very important question.
Yes.
But first, an important question for you. What is the book that you're giving away today?
The book this week is The Medicaid Planning Handbook, a guide to protecting your family's assets from catastrophic nursing home costs. We will send you a free copy of this book, plus our Momentum Strategy white paper. On the strategy is already up 8% this year since January 1st. In about 3 weeks, it's gone up 8% already. And it's absolutely free. The book and the report are free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave your name and your address, and we'll send you the book and the report for free, absolutely free, no cost, no obligation. You want to read that question off Russell Meiser?
First, we had someone text us and say one gas operates ONG, so thank you for the clarification. We've got that.
Very good, yes.
And then we got this one. I'm thinking of spending my entire retirement on a Porsche. What is the best model? Signed, Farrell.
Yes. Signed, Farrell.
Okay, first, I believe you know who Farrell is.
Yes, I know the courthouse is closed today, so he's probably at home.
He's got nothing else to do.
Wagner
now.
County deputy.
He's probably smoking a cigar right now. Yeah. This, and no telling what he might be taking in as far as liquids
so
go.
So Allison, our crack researcher, went to work
for you,
Farrell. And she,
I have an answer for him.
What is it?
She says it's the Panamera Turbo S E Hybrid, which has 680 horsepower, 3.2 seconds, 0 to 60 time, all-wheel drive and four doors. And you can get it, Farrell, for just $184,000.
A bargain. Hey, man, you can probably get a magnetic Wagner County deputy thing, stick it on side of that puppy.
You get a tax write-off.
Tax write-off. Hey, Russell, just to remind you of something, though.
Yeah.
When we did the Donald Rankin thing, the Vietnam soldier,
it was
we got
Farrell
a stuff
who found him.
Farrell is the guy that found the family. And, like, in the course of a day, found the family. And so we were able to return some memorabilia to a soldier from Wagner, Oklahoma, killed in Vietnam. It was a great situation, and I'll just tell you, Farrell made it happen.
That's right. Great guy. And I enjoy working with him quite a bit and enjoy talking with him. I want to go back to the subject we were talking about.
Let me interrupt if I could just for a second. You're talking about cigars?
Yes.
You know how he cracked that thing? I'm over there saying, you know Donald Rankin's family? And we get to talking, and there's a war memorial outside the courthouse. He goes, you looked on the memorial?
Because he was sitting outside smoking a cigar.
He was sitting outside smoking a cigar.
Wow.
That's right.
That was a cool story.
Okay.
All right, so we were talking revocable versus irrevocable.
Yes, I'm going to defer to Dr. Money on this one and let him answer these questions because he knows far more about the subject than I do. Why don't you go ahead and explain the difference between the two, if you would?
Well, you know, when you hear most lawyers advertising come do a trust, and you'll be protected. And again, the question to me is always protected from what? Well, you're not going to be protected at all from long-term care benefits if you do the standard revocable trust, living trust, whatever you want to call it, a pour-over will, a power of attorney, this or that, the other, you know, and you're going to pay probably, $3,000 or so for that package. But here's the thing. It's revocable. You can do whatever you want with it.
Right.
The issue that creates is, for tax purposes, that's still considered your property. Now, here's where it gets odd. Technically, you don't own it. The trust does, but it's still taxable to you when you die. So when you do an irrevocable trust, you don't own it anymore. This is what freaks people out a little bit. Wait a minute. If I put my house in the trust, I don't own my house? Well, no, you really don't. Technically, you don't. It's like a whole other – well, not like. It is a whole other entity.
Correct.
The benefit to that is – that's what you have better protection from creditors and divorces and so forth, because you don't own it. And when you pass away, it's not taxable to you because it's not part of your estate. So a revocable trust, the stuff still remains part of your estate, kind of to do the George Carlin deal, your stuff. You know, it's still your stuff for tax purposes. Irrevocable, it's not your stuff for tax purposes.
And this is what I explain to people. Generally, the distinction, in my opinion, is what is the amount of control they can assert over the asset. If you have absolute control over the asset, they're going to see it as your asset. Does that make sense?
So if it's revocable, means you can cancel the trust.
You can take it out of the trust. You can amend the trust. You can modify it. You can do whatever you want. But when it goes into an irrevocable trust, then you generally lose a lot of control over that asset. And that's exactly the point of why it's set up that way. And that's why you're pulling that asset out of your estate or away from your control. And that removes it from liability and from the Medicaid perspective especially, removes it from your estate essentially. And forgive me if I'm saying something wrong.
No, that's
here,
right. But that's where we have to look back at 5 years. So you may be 53 years old going, well, I'll worry about nursing home stuff when I get there. Well, when you apply, whenever you apply, and by the way, when you're 53, you know, you might have a stroke too. You might be in a car wreck too. You may have some devastating issue going on with you. But whenever you apply for those nursing home benefits, they're going to look back for 5 years. And that's why do this kind of planning while you're healthy.
Right.
And you're not really that worried about it.
Yes, and I met with a couple the other day that had a liquid net worth well over $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question I wanted to ask was, do you have a will or a trust? And I asked these questions, and the answer was no. And I was just terrified, for lack of a better term. And, granted, they're not that old, but they're still old enough to where things can happen. And I can tell you because, you know, Creek County had a deputy who died recently,
right,
and a dispatcher who died, who were both under 45 years old. And they died within a week of each other. It was very tragic. But these things happen. I mean, people pass away, obviously. And this couple was in their early 50s, and I know they're relatively young and they're healthy. But I told them, you really need to get this squared away because something
could
happen.
Stuff happens.
Right, stuff happens. You could be in a car wreck.
In my business, we see it every day. Age is, death respects no age or social class.
So you help people set up these trusts and these things. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely. And one thing, not to irritate my colleagues, but you know, I think a lot of lawyers just go, hey, you need a will and a trust. And I have people call up, hey, how much for a will? Yeah. You know, well, wait a minute. That's not really the right answer. The right question is, what do you have? What's your stuff? And what do we need to get accomplished? And to me, not in the long-term care realm standpoint, but just, first of all, let's see if we can avoid probate. That's the first thing. And a lot of times, you don't need to start, you know, create a trust and put all your stuff in a trust. There are ways to dispose of your assets, your property, in a manner that maybe you don't have to spend $2,000 or $3,000 and create a trust. So that's why I always sit down with people, let's see what you have first. And then let's go, well, maybe we can dispose of this way, dispose of this that way, you know, do a transfer on death deed, for example, so you don't put it in your trust. There are things that you can do, and then let's see what the problem is first. Then we can come up with a solution. But for long-term care purposes, that's not just estate planning. And that's what worries me when these estate planning lawyers say you'll be protected. Because honestly, your question needs to be right back. Protected from what? In fact, the letters that I send out on a non-long-term care estate plan specifically says this does not protect you from long-term care expenses.
You know, I had a couple come to me about 6 months ago, and they had a revocable living trust, basically is what they had. And they told me that they were protected for Medicaid purposes. And I just sat there and shook my head. And I said, no, I know you're not. I'm pretty confident that you're not protected. But they thought they were fully protected. And I tried to tell them, you're in for a rude awakening when the time comes. You need to modify this or go talk to another attorney, because I'm not sure what their attorney told them. I wasn't present, wasn't in the room, obviously, when that happened. But they had the misperception that they were protected for Medicaid purposes, and they were completely not, in my opinion, not protected.
Well, you're probably right. And because if you create a revocable trust, 99.999% of the time, you're also the main beneficiary.
Right. And the trustee.
The trustee.
Grantor.
The person who creates the trust. You're the trustee, the person that manages the trust, and you're the beneficiary, the person who gets the benefit of the trust. You're everything. That's why it's still...
It's your asset.
It's still kind of your stuff. For Medicaid purposes, it's definitely still your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain what dying intestate means and the consequences?
It means your family's going to spend a lot of money after you die. To die intestate, well, I always tell people, either you can plan your estate or the state of Oklahoma will plan it for you. So to die intestate is to die without a will, without a trust, without anything. You just
die.
You just die.
Right.
And you've made no plans at all. Now, a lot of times, you know, quite honestly, it doesn't matter. You know, if you don't really have too much and There's ways to get rid of stuff, that's fine. But typically, if you have a house or something like that and you've not taken care of that, well, then you're going to have to, your family, your survivors are going to have to go to court and probate that, because everything has to be owned, as particularly with real estate. It has to be owned. And if you're dead, you can't own it. And so somebody's got to. So how do we determine the ownership? We go to court. Judge Glasgow hears your case, and then the state of Oklahoma will decide who owns the property you didn't plan for.
Do we have time for one more question?
Real quick, yeah.
Okay. Some people like to put instead of doing a TOD, transfer on death, or POD, payable on death, some people like to put other people on their accounts jointly, like a son or a daughter jointly. I think that's a dangerous move.
I think that's a very bad idea. I tell people, you know, if your kid's an idiot now, they're not going to get any smarter when you put them on your bank account. So
it doesn't boost their IQ any.
Well, I mean, straight talk saves time. So, you know, I say, you know, yeah, do a pay on death. You can go to the bank. They do this every day. They know exactly what you're talking about. And so when you pass away, they bring down the death certificate and they get whatever's in your account, whatever you said. If you got two or three kids, you know, you can put them all on there. But typically, there's always exceptions, but typically I'm going to say, don't put your kid on your bank account as a co-owner of that account.
Correct. I agree.
All right. So Farrell texted us back. I think he's got some questions about whether, you know, he should buy a four-door. All right, Farrell.
Well, you know, if you got prisoners, you're going to want that back seat, right?
All right. So we've got more Money Talk right ahead for you. Meanwhile, just a reminder, Dan's giving away free books this week like he does pretty much every week. The Medicaid Planning Handbook is yours at no cost. Just call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address so he knows where to send the handy little book, The Medicaid Planning Handbook, 398-8387. More Money Talk after this on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
I bring you diamond rings and things right to your door. For your love to thrill you with delight. I'll give you diamonds bright. There'll be days that will excite. To make you dream of me at night.
It's the latest. It's the greatest. Mashed potato.
Do the mashed potato, baby. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in about 9 minutes, your top stories, the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center. And, of course, that forecast from Fox 23. Next hour, Fox News Sunday. If you've got questions, you can text us at 95920. Somebody did that, but first, let's talk about the book you're giving away this week, Mr. Witham.
That's right. The book is The Medicaid Planning Handbook, a guide to protecting your family's assets from catastrophic nursing home costs. You can get a free copy of it. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address. When you get our voicemail, we'll send you the book absolutely free. I know you have a question you want to get to.
Well, we have a couple. Somebody asked about 21st and Peoria, you know, where they had the big water line break. And I'll just let you know, there's one lane open in each direction. I'd still avoid it if you could, 3 weeks before they get all that work done. And more importantly, what if you have a mortgage on a property and then you want to put that property in trust? Are you going to have to refinance it?
I'm assuming what that question means is not. I have a house and there's a mortgage on that house to XYZ Bank. And for estate planning purposes, I want to transfer my house to my trust. And I think the question is, if I do that, do I have to refinance my own house? And man, I hate to give this answer, but it's kind of like, it kind of depends. Because I've represented people who the person did transfer their house into the trust and dies. And, well, the house was in the trust, so you didn't really need to do anything else with it. And the family kept making the payments. And one day, Chase Bank says, well, we're not going to accept payments anymore. Well, we're current. Yeah, well, we're not going to accept payments anymore. And they foreclosed on the house, and they won. I mean, we fought that, but it won. Or they won. So I'm going to say you probably shouldn't have to. You might have to, but again, it won't be you refinancing it. It would be the trust refinancing it, and You know, who knows what a bank will do on that. So I think what I would do is when you transfer it into the trust subject to the mortgage to XYZ, and it would be fabulous if you could get with your bank and they would consent to that, and that would be the easiest way to do it, I think.
So really, you got to kind of talk to your bank because it sounds like it's a case-by-case situation.
Right. I mean, there are some banks that are just unbelievably difficult to deal with.
Well, it might depend on the type of trust. You know, irrevocable trust versus irrevocable. There's probably a difference in how you would handle the two based on when the person passes eventually, and the bank's going to want to make sure the collateral is secured, obviously, that their note's going to get paid off. That's what they want.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that from the owner's standpoint, though, I mean, you can transfer ownership of property. I mean, you just can. So I don't know why that particular bank wouldn't accept the payments, but, I mean, we fought that in court, and the judge let the bank win on that one. So go talk to your bank.
Okay, and that's an excellent question. That was a great question they sent in to us. Steve, I want to ask you, I'm going to change gears a little bit here and ask you about power of attorneys and what they are and what they are not. Can you explain why people would want a power of attorney and what it's useful for and what it's not useful for?
Well, without getting into a general power of attorney versus a durable power of attorney, let's just kind of talk some general principles right now. The biggest misunderstanding is, and when I was in the home health business, man, I saw this all the time. So let's say Steve Money gives Dan Witham a power of attorney. All I have done is given you permission to act upon my behalf. I have not given up my right to act on my own behalf. And that is where I think people mess up a lot. They don't understand it because I see this with elderly people. They'll give the power of attorney to their daughter, typically, and then they sit back and go, well, I don't have any power anymore. I can't do anything. No. If you and your child or whoever you gave that power of attorney to ever disagree on something, you win.
Right.
You've not given your power away. You've not given your authority away, but you have loaned it out.
And you can also, as I understand it, you can later revoke a power of attorney.
Man, you can revoke that puppy in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Now, to get a little bit in the weeds, a general power of attorney, and this is what people don't understand either for the most part, when you die, that power of attorney dies. Well, same thing on a durable, but I'm just saying somebody will pass away and I'll have somebody show up. Well, I got mom's power of attorney.
Right.
Yeah, mom's dead. Yeah, you don't have anything, you know.
That's a worthless piece of paper.
Worthless piece of paper.
And that's what I've told people because we deal with power of attorney all the time on accounts. They bring them to us and act on them as power of attorney. And I tell them when the person dies, your power of attorney is done.
It dies with you.
You have to go to court and get probate and have fun.
So, again, do not die.
Don't die.
Intestate.
Or you want to have a will or trust.
Yeah, power of attorney won't matter.
Yeah.
But here's something that's very important, I think. On a general power of attorney, when does it become ineffective when you're alive? Let's say you become incapacitated or whatever you've put in there. Well, now it's no good. Or you're just going out of the country or whatever, and you need somebody to pay your bills, something like that. That's fine. But if you become incapacitated, it's not any good anymore. That's why you want to do a durable power of attorney, which basically says, it's the same power, same authority, same everything, but it says if I become incapacitated, this thing is still good. Now, just to screw it up even a little bit more, there's a deal called a springing power of attorney. So your durable power of attorney is not effective until an event happens, which is a very good way to go. So a durable power of attorney can be effective the minute you sign it, or you can have it where it won't become effective until some event happens.
Right, and the power of attorney, because I've read many of them, they will stipulate on there that it's effective now or only upon my incapacitation, and it will state which way it is, and you need to read that carefully because there's a big difference in which one you're invoking. You want to know which one you're getting.
That's right.
And a lot of people sign these and don't know what they're invoking, I will tell you, because I've seen it happen. Steve, if somebody wants to have you help them with these documents, can you help write these documents?
Absolutely. You can call me, 918-610-8088, 918-610-8088, or Facebook, Steve Money Law on Facebook, Steve Money Law on Facebook, and we actually do respond to those messages that we get on Facebook.
Well, I can tell you, Steve spends a lot of time on Facebook, so I know he does.
Way too much. He posts photos of this very show.
So yes, absolutely. And I was looking at the estate tax law. They changed some of the estate tax laws with the recent tax bill that went through last year, and I was surprised to see this. But they basically doubled the exemption under estate tax laws from $5 million up to $10, $11 million in that range. And now they've indexed it for inflation going forward. And one of the things they also did, Steve, is they allowed the spouse to use the deceased spouse's credit if they didn't use it during their lifetime.
Outstanding.
Which is great for people. That means if Russell, if you died and then your wife died 5 years later and didn't take advantage of your estate exemption, the $11 million, she could take $22 million, both of them, when she passes, which in the past has never, to my knowledge, has never been allowed ever before. And this is kind of a unique thing, but I think that's a great thing.
That's outstanding.
And I encourage people, give Steve a call, you know, if you want to, and find out about more about getting a trust or a will done and or a power of attorney, because I know he does all of them for them. So
Steve Money Law on Facebook. That's how you find him. All right. If you'd like a free copy of today's book, The Medicaid Planning Handbook, call Dan's office, 918-398-8387. Do please leave your name and address so they can send you the book. Absolutely free, 918-398-8387. You've been listening to Money Talk. We're here on KRMG live and local every Sunday from 10 to 11. Up next, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center. I'm Russell Mills. Have a great Sunday. Fox News Sunday's next.